There we go. I'm talking today with Helen King, who is Senior Business Analyst with Bord Beer, which is the body responsible for supporting the food and drink industry in Ireland, and also Tobias Rooney, who's a principal with Innovaro, a major innovation consultancy. And we're going to talk briefly about the challenges and the possibilities in thinking about the future in a structured way as a feed into the innovation process. Helen, perhaps I could ask you first of all, could you just tell us a little bit about Bord Beer and the role it plays on behalf of the food and drink industry in Ireland?
Yeah, Bord Beer is the state organisation responsible for the marketing and promotion of food and drink both domestically and around the world. We would primarily be known for our beef exports, but we have consumer food exports as well, and our role is to support them in any promotional way or marketing way. One of our core functions in relation to innovation is about helping them with their information and knowledge and developing programs around insight and trends and then looking to the future and innovation from very much a consumer perspective. There are other state agencies in Ireland that deal with the technological side of innovation or the cultural side of innovation. We specifically focus on the consumer, and that very much would be about helping our organisations come up with ideas, stimulating their thinking, and then developing those ideas through ideation and research and then foresight programmes.
And would it be fair to say that part of that is then to try and stretch them to think and do things they might not otherwise have done? I imagine there's a bit of a tendency to sort of batten down the hatches and stick to doing the fairly safe bets, and your challenge is partly to get them to think more broadly and to do different things.
Yeah, very much so. And innovation has been a buzzword that's been in the industry for a number of years, and we find that it's probably more of a buzzword than it can be a reality. So we try to develop programs that, when they understand what the consumer is doing today, and they can take that consumer knowledge and insight and then put it to use for developing new products or new ideas or concepts.
Excellent. And one of the things which I particularly like to talk about is the way you, working with Innovaro, used some structured foresight, some structured futures thinking. Can you tell us briefly what led you in that direction?
I suppose we run a number of programs about trends, which we would look or we would consider to be 3 to 5 years. But 3 to 5 years really is not probably looking outward enough if you're looking for the new big thing. So we wanted to help our organizations try to get ahead of their global competition as well as their domestic competition. We undertook a foresight program about 18 months ago, which specifically looked at the Irish market and specifically the Irish domestic market. And that was a scenarios-based approach where we brought in most of our larger manufacturers and some of our smaller manufacturers and a few external individuals. That program was quite successful, and it helped our companies to think strategically about the future of Ireland. But what it didn't do was address the global situation, and because our competition is very much a global market, we wanted to open it up to the wider audience. So we started working with Innovaro, and again, it was to look at 10 to 15 years out what the global marketplace would look like and how our organisations can prepare for that global marketplace and how they can actually get ready for it and maybe come up with something that consumers, when we talk to today, can think of, but they can preempt what consumers will want in the future. So the Innovaro programme was devised to have the global picture, but it was also devised to bring in external sectors outside of food and drink because they influence what happens within the food and drink industry so much.
Tobias, perhaps I could ask you at this point, in doing this kind of thing, how do you go about designing an event or a process which picks up on diversity in terms of different sectors, picks up these trends? Can you tell us a bit about the design of one of these events?
Well, the events, as Helen explained, the purpose of the event is to get people to look sufficiently far out that they're not the trends that they can map. They're the things that happen sufficient business cycles ahead that they are not immediately obvious. So the purpose is to get enough people in the room to have that discussion and understand between them what are the things they don't know, and what is it, from what they know, what is it they can anticipate happening next. So when we do the events, we bring together a lot of external people. Our rule of thumb generally is you need twice as many external people as internal people. And you bring that diversity of reflection. So part of that will be, as Helen explained, the more beer would be, you'd have it at the core of food and drink people. But beyond that, you want related sectors and sectors that influence the sector you're in. And beyond that, you want people who are going to add maybe consumer insights, ethnographers, people doing semiotic research, and so on and so forth, who can bring you a broader picture. And through that mixture of experience and understanding, what you're anticipating happening is that people will start to join the dots in the discussions and identify emergent trends that have sufficient legs, because it's been through quite a rigorous process of discussion within the group, that people can see what it would look like in 10 to 15 years' time, and they can see it with a degree of visceral understanding that it's not just, oh, yeah, the world's going to look like this. There is a degree of sort of visceral understanding about what that means and what will happen next. So there's a process of generating a dialogue, through the dialogue identifying potential trends, and then selecting down to some of the core trends that everyone agrees are the things they want to look at, and then working those in more detail. So it's a kind of broad discussion, look for the threads, pick out the threads that seem most interesting, and then start to describe in some detail what those threads look like.
Excellent. So in terms of how the actual event happened, can you tell us a little bit about how it played out over the couple of days?
We met, it was a 2.5 day event.
2.5 days, yeah.
We met in Dublin, but outside of, in an outside hotel. About 15 or 16 external participants came from around the world, primarily Britain and the Netherlands, but a few from other places as well. And then we also asked five of our largest exporter organizations to join us. So we had about 25 to 30 people in the group. The first evening we met, we had a very short presentation on current climate, but also how things have changed around the world in the last 10 to 15 years, which is very interesting and I suppose made people think about the past and how quickly things can actually change. But 10 years out really isn't that far ahead, although it seems far ahead when you're thinking in a day-to-day business context. That kind of set the theme. We looked at consumer drivers and the major platforms that we were going to discuss. That was the first day, and then we got together for the second and third day, and that was very much, as Tobias said, just discussing the themes, different groups meeting, discussing different topics, and then I suppose cross-pollination of ideas from the groups. They were all facilitated or moderated by someone from Innovara to draw out our ideas and make us think differently. And at the end, we had an huge number of ideas, hundreds.
Yes.
We had a bit of a voting system. I suppose we clustered those ideas and then voted on the importance of them and the effect on the future and the effect of specifically to the food and drink sector. And then I suppose we developed those a bit more and then came up with our 10 future findings. Mm-hmm. So we came up with 10 perhaps a bit extreme future findings, mm-hmm. but based in certainly dynamics that are happening today, mm-hmm. which has expanded them out.
Yeah. And I can see you produced a rather nice sort of booklet that captures them. Could you perhaps share one example of one of the future findings, just to give a flavour of the kind of thing that comes out?
Yeah, I suppose because this is an interesting one because it relates to food and drink, but quite a large bit of the discussion over the few days was about local economies, local sourcing, local food production. And that core topic developed into the possibility of urban farms in the future. So urban farming and localized processing of food will be driven by a combination of top-down lower eco-footprint regulations and bottom-up community interest. That was the core of it. So that really showed that a lot of the discussion was about going back to the community. A good bit of discussion was about the environment and how do those topics mesh together to come up with one overall finding. So it was urban farming and localized communities.
That sounds a really interesting process, and it obviously generates a lot of new directions in terms of innovation possibilities. I guess one last question, which I'll throw to both of you, but one at a time. From the point of view of a user, what have you learned from the process, and what might you do differently in the future through that experience? And to Innovaro, in terms of this being a process that you run regularly with a variety of different clients, what have you learned, and how has that refined over time as an innovation management tool? So perhaps I can throw the question at you first, Helen, okay. And then come back to Tobias.
I suppose if I was to repeat the exercise, I would ensure that the balance between external thought and internal thought was more heavily balanced on the external. We had a number of people from my own organization, and then some of our client companies. But then we also had some foodie people that were external, so the balance was probably 50-50. And unfortunately, when you're involved in the sector, you tend to be more short-term thinking. And it was harder to push out the boundaries because we were constantly bringing our thoughts back to today or tomorrow rather than the future. So I would certainly ensure that the external sectors are tangential to your own sector, but certainly outweigh your own sector. It just provides more thought. And even if the results are way out, you can bring those results back and then apply them within your own sector.
Great, that's lovely, thank you. And Tobias?
Yes, I would tend to echo what Helen has said. I think you do need a sufficient balance so that the core group of people are not dominating the conversation. The constant challenge now in the event was, as Helen said, we were constantly having to stretch them a bit further out so that the thoughts and the discussions were that much more different from what they were today, rather than some sort of continuous evolution. And the second thing, I think, from the event, I think it was very good, and we've talked about it today. There's lots of interesting ideas that came out of it. I think there are probably two things that sit in that I think are probably worth thinking about next time you're in an event like this. One is probably how to make sure you don't just have white, liberal, middle-class people sitting in the room talking about a problem, how you have a greater diversity, whether that's prior to the event as an input, whether it's run in parallel but not in the same place, or whether you do spot testing or something, but something that challenges the dominant logic of that subsection of society. So I think of doing something different than that. And the second thing is how you then lock it through to the follow-up, because the events are, my experience of events, people always really enjoy them, they're interesting, they're stimulating. And they're quite low resistance events in terms of how new innovation, people do this stuff, oh, that's great fun, yeah, I'll do none of those. And unfortunately, innovation doesn't actually stop, that's just the starting point. Then you've actually got to do something and things have got to happen and you've got to change your products or your business model or your service or whatever. And that's where it becomes more complicated. So it's a great starting point. It's really the very front end of innovation. What is the world in which we're going to be in? And what are the trends in that world? It's the very much the starting point of where you start to go, like, what do I then do from that? And what do I do? How do I then take it to market? And I suppose it's almost somehow getting more of a lockstep of, okay, well, people do something next, or they do something with it. The information has a sort of shelf life to it, and it's very valuable, and it's very fresh. When you first go through the discussion, it's very fresh, and you want to somehow tap into that relatively quickly. I think. So I think that's the only two things I think I would do differently about that. As I say, is potentially mix up the population even more. So I agree very much with Helen, you want a strong external group of people. And secondly, I would also think about the social and demographic profile of those people. How do you get users in? How do you get, more radically, if you're talking about the future, how do you get school children involved in something like that? Because it's their future, so what are they thinking about? How do you get completely different parts of society thinking about it? I think those sorts of questions are, it'd be fascinating to organise an event that did something like that. I don't know how you would do it, but I think that's where it destabilises people's thinking even more. There often is that need, because as Helen said, people keep pulling it back to what they know, and the more the food people are, the more they pull it back to the here and now of the food, the more they're that class of population who think organic food is where the future is. The more they talk about learning food, and then they talk about instant pizza or whatever. So I think it's those sorts of challenges that sit in events like this, how to make them more destabilizing and more challenging for the people taking part.
I think just also to follow up on the program, organizations need to look at it as a tool for strategic planning for the future rather than just an instant MPD solution. It's about changing your, it's about looking at your positioning and your business models and perhaps adapting them to the future rather than just coming up with an idea for a new product.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think if you buy it as a, if you do it as an MPD exercise, it's, you're probably missing an awful lot of the fundamentals you're trying to change. What you're actually doing, and we've done it recently with our companies, you're actually looking for them to say, well, is there a business model innovation that sits in this space that we're looking at, rather than just say, well, what's the line extension that comes off the back of that?
That's really great. Thank you both very much indeed.